This podcast is a proud member of the That Moment In Podcast Network. Check out the network at thatmomentin.com.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this, another edition of Terror Tuesdays over at Cinema Recall Podcast, over at thatmomentin.com. I am your host, The Vern, and I have been away from you folks for way too long. I apologize about that. On this episode, I'm going to be giving you my quick thoughts about the movie The House That Jack Built. And then afterwards, because I love and miss you all so much, I'm going to be giving you my top 5 worst movies of 2018. I know a lot of people are afraid to post their top 5 worst list, but not I. I'll be brave and list the ones that I thought were really bad. Now, if you agree or even if you disagree, that's fine. Like I said, I'm not going to hate you for your choices, and hopefully you won't hate me for mine, alright? But let's do this right now. Let's play a small scene from The House That Jack Built, and then I'll be back with my thoughts, alright?
Oops. That was a mistake.
Mistake?
Me getting in this car with you. What was it one's mother used to say about not getting into cars with strangers?
Well, I wouldn't know what your mother said.
You might as well be a serial killer. I'm sorry, but you do kind of look like one.
You'd like me to drive you back to your car?
No. I'll take care of myself. I'm sorry. Were you offended that I called you a serial killer?
No. It's of absolutely no importance to me.
Maybe it's just the van. It's the kind one might expect to be kidnapped in, used to transport corpses.
But if you really were a serial killer, I guess the easiest thing would be just to bury my body back up there by those trees. But you'd have to remember to dig 6 feet down so the foxes couldn't dig up my grave.
What would I do to keep you from getting away with it? Oh, of course.
I just pick up that jack and hit you over the head with it. Jack like that could do quite a bit of damage, don't you think?
I'm not a medical examiner.
Do quite a lot of damage.
All right, you just heard a scene from The House That Jack Built. This was directed by Lars von Trier, and he's no stranger to controversy. He's done movies such as Antichrist, Melancholia, Dancer in the Dark, Dogville, Nymphomaniac, Volume 1, Volume 2. In fact, I was a guest on the Damien Riley podcast hosted by Damien Riley, where we discussed his filmography, and his earlier career is a lot different than his latest movies. I feel like his latest movies are there a lot to shock people. And that's fine, you know, and his latest movie, The House That Jack Built, pulls some punches at doing so. Now, the problem is that I saw the R-rated version of this. I have not seen the uncensored, uncut version, and I know there's a lot more horrific things that happen in that movie, but as a storyline itself there, I guess you can sort of take or leave it. Let's put it this way. The House That Jack Built follows Jack, played by Matt Dillon, and he is confessing his career as a serial killer to this guy called Verge, played by Bruno Gantz, and the movie is split up into a series of incidents, chapters as you will there, about each time Jack has committed a murder. The first one has Uma Thurman, and she plays a woman who had her car broken, and Jack is taking her to the mechanic, and there's a funny sequence where she keeps commenting about him being a serial killer, and how easy it will be to kill her and leave her somewhere. It's very funny. In fact, it's the scene that you heard in the podcast. And then you have other chapters has a different victim, and it's about how he kills them and disposes of their bodies. And the only thing that I found funny about this feature is the fact that Jack has OCD. I mean, there's a sequence where after he kills a woman, he cleans up all the blood, goes out to his car, ready to escape, but then in his mind he thinks that, oh shit, I forgot to clean up the blood underneath the lamp or the carpet, they're gonna catch me. So he goes back into the house, cleans everything up again, feels fine, goes back out to his car, and then he thinks, oh shit, the pitcher. I know I left some blood by the pitcher. I gotta go back in there and clean it up. So he goes back in there and cleans it up, and it gets to the point where even if cops are showing up, he doesn't care. He's like, gotta go back to the house and clean it up. And there's other sequences, like when he has a family and then he starts hunting them. That would have been a great sequence if there was any type of, like, tension there. Like, you know he's a serial killer, you know he's gonna do something bad, but it just felt like too random, and I wanted to have him be a little bit more menacing, alright? I just didn't get that. The same thing, he has a girlfriend at a later on chapter, and Jack is pretending to be crippled, he has his girlfriend there. It's fine, I guess is what I'm saying. It's fine for like a 90-minute feature, but this is about a 2.5-hour long feature, and there's just too many things that have nothing to do with the plot. Like, huge chapters about building a house and different architects, and then you have this whole scene about Nazism, alright? And then it shows a montage of Lars von Trier's other features that I don't think really need to be in there. The performances from Matt Dillon is great, and I do recommend watching sequences with him because he's good. But yeah, folks, I got this 1 out of 5 stars. I'm going to give it 2. I don't want to discourage people from not watching this. In fact, I was going to write up a review for this, but I seriously think that one of our contributors, Zoe Rose Smith, she writes a much better review on her website. Seriously, go to ZoboWithAShotgun.com, look it up, read her review about the house that Jack built, and you'll have a much better map of this movie. Much better review than I can give you here. But that's it. I'm going to give The House That Jack Built 2 stars. Funny in some moments right there, but I'm dialing too much here. Let's do this. Let's take a small break, and then I'll be back with my top 5 worst movies of 2018. A little small note here, folks. I recorded that section of my top 5 worst movies before the Golden Globes, so just keep that in mind. But anyways, we'll be back, all right?
Rising from the depths of a state called Michigan, 2 inebriated dorks prepare their plan for intergalactic domination, mixing their extensive knowledge of geek culture with their insatiable thirst for alcohol. These 2 man-children bring you a show like you've never heard before. They will tell you tales from faraway lands and have you questioning their taste in beer. But make no mistake, friend, for the best coverage of your favorite comics, films, and TV shows, there's no better source for you to get your fix. So listen up, strap in, and prepare yourself as Jake and Tom conquer the world.
This podcast is a proud member of the LAM Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
Want to know what's happening for the weekend? Then check out Subject Cinema's 3-Minute Weekend, spotlighting all the new films hitting your local theaters. Join host T.C. Kirkham as he gives you the 411 on all the new blockbuster releases, as well as the indies that might be coming to your town, and choices for video on demand as well. 3-Minute Weekend, every Friday morning, from Subject Cinema and eCinema1.com, a member of the LAM Podcasting Network, a PNR Networks podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Cinema Recall Podcast over at ThatMomentIn.com. Now, I know a lot of people have been posting on social media and whatnot that no one should ever do a worst movies of 2018 because there's so much negativity in the world, and everyone should try to get along, and you know what? Fuck that shit, alright? You can send your little whiny ass back home. These are the worst movies of 2018, and it's not gonna matter if I say these movies are bad or not, because they made a profit, they made some big money, but I was heavily disappointed in these features. I was gonna have a guest on here to maybe compare our lists, but I don't want to make that guest upset, because a lot of these movies may appear on someone's list, and I completely understand, and I respect that. But without further ado, folks, here it is, the top 5 worst movies of 2018. At number 5, actually dropping down 5 places from when I originally had it before, it is A Quiet Place. Now, I appreciate John Krasinski's direction very much, and it does have a great premise, great use of sound design, the acting's fine, but the characters are dumb. They're just so badly written, I just cannot get past that part. And I know I've had John and Mark tell me about their love of this movie from Cinema Recap, and yes, if Emily Blunt was my wife, I would try to have a kid with her, but if monsters are killing us, I'll just take a hand job, alright? I don't need to have another kid. We already have 2. There's these crazy monsters right now. I'm like, you know what? Just a simple hand job. That's fine. All right. I'm going to be crude here. I know and I apologize. But yeah, I just cannot get past the part where this couple, this family, wants to have another kid when all these monsters are going to be chasing you around. And they hunt you by sound and babies cry. It's like they were not even thinking at all about this at all. It's like they're like going, hey, we should have another family, but there's monsters out there. Oh, but I really want to have kids, but the monsters. All right, let's have kids anyways. Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. The ending of this movie makes me want to see the sequel, but that's it. Anyways, number 5 is A Quiet Place. Moving on to my number 4 spot, we have The Girl in the Spider's Web. Claire Foy takes over the role of Elizabeth Slander in this movie that is supposed to be a follow-up to The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, but instead, it is actually the 4th book in the series, and this one is more of a Jason Bourne action-adventure type. If this had nothing to do with The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo or Elizabeth Slander or anything like that, I would enjoy this movie. But it wants to connect this movie to the last one, and it just fails. I have no idea why this movie is rated R. This is a PG-13 movie all the way. I mean, especially if you compare the David Fincher version of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo to this, it is very different. This one feels more like a Bond feature. And The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, it is, I don't know, it makes you feel grimy and dirty, alright? I mean, this is about a girl who's supposed to take revenge on men who treat women wrong, and the fact with The Girl in the Spider's Web, you have the main villain be her sister, I just didn't really buy into any of that, so that's my only gripe about that movie. If The Girl in the Spider's Web had nothing to do with Elizabeth Slander and was its own completely different feature, I would enjoy this a little bit more than I did, but it wants to be a semi-sequel to that franchise, and it just fails completely. Claire Foy is fine, but not good enough for me to recommend this film at all. So that's my number 4, The Girl in the Spider's Web. At number 3, number 3 is a movie that I know a lot of people like, and I get it. It has some amazing live performances. I think Rami Malek does a great job in the lead role, but that's it. You can watch live performances on YouTube with the actual real artists. Alright, you know what this is, folks. My number 3 is Bohemian Rhapsody. Alright, as a biopic, it is just so standard. It's very standard. Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story, is a much better biopic movie than this, and that movie was a spoof. It was a spoof on all other biopic movies, and Bohemian Rhapsody just took that same plot line and just regurgitated again. They vomited up again for audiences. I mean, you got the disapproving parents. You have him going into a show, and everyone's like, what? He can't sing. What happened to the other lead singer? Oh, he's got big teeth. And then he starts singing, and everyone goes like, oh, well, he's really good and everything. And what pisses me the most about this movie is how they decided to betray how iconic songs from Queen were written. It seems that they were just written on a fly. Like, there's one scene where the band is having an argument about how a song should go, and they don't like it at all. But then, all of a sudden, the bass player, who is played by, I think it was the kid from Jurassic Park, picks up a bass and goes like, hey guys, what about this bass line? And it's the bass line from Another One Bites the Dust. And they're like, hey, cool, alright, yeah, we're now a band again. And even how the iconic song Bohemian Rhapsody is written, it seems like Freddie Mercury in this movie just knows it all of a sudden. It just comes to him. And I don't know, it's just very standard, very average. Yeah, live performances are great, but I cannot recommend this movie based on that. If you want to see the live show, go watch the live shows on YouTube, especially like the Live 8 performances. Yeah, check that out. All right, so that was my number 3, Bohemian Rhapsody. Going on to number 2 and my number 1. Now, I could probably change these. I could probably switch these around. But for this episode, I'm going to go with number 2, Venom. I think Venom does have a good performance from Tom Hardy. Especially when he, after he gets invaded by the symbiote and it becomes like a buddy cop comedy. Yeah, there are some funny moments in there, but not enough for me to recommend this film. No, the plot line is just very weak. It's got some good actors as supporting roles, but the characters they play are not that great. In fact, the only one that was actually good was Melora Walters as, I guess, the bum that hangs out at Eddie Brock's building where he gets his food. Yeah, I thought she was fine, but everyone else in this movie is just really bad. Michelle Williams as Eddie's girlfriend just did not need to be there at all. Her whole plot line of how she wanted to get rid of him after he got her fired, and then how she gets back into the relationship, I thought was very weak. The main villain, I thought was also very weak. Yeah, this is a movie that definitely feels like it was toned down from its original conception, because I guess it was originally supposed to be rated R, but the studio heads wanted to tone it down, which I get, because they made a lot more money, and it was definitely successful, and I know a lot of people here really enjoyed this film, and I tried to get back to like my 10-year-old self watching this film, and I guess, yeah, seeing Venom bite the heads off of people is funny, you know, but I just, nah. But then, yeah, 10, I was watching RoboCop, so what do I know, alright, folks? So, yeah, number 2, Venom. If you like it, fine, but I just thought it was very drab and very dull. I know for sure you can read my review of that on thatmomentin.com. But yeah, moving on to my number 1, and I'm going to pick Jurassic Park Fallen Kingdom. I liked Jurassic World because, come on now, dinosaurs, alright? I liked that, and this throwback to the first movie, but even Jurassic World, I was disappointed in. I was very much like, alright, they rebooted this franchise, fine, but let's hope it was a stop here. But it didn't, it continued on. I guess my biggest issue was more towards the end, with the little kid and all about cloning systems, which I never quite got. It has weird haunted house thing near the end, which I thought was kind of dumb. Let's put it this way, folks. Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom is exactly like Jurassic, The Lost World, Jurassic Park, alright? So, remember the second sequel, or not the second, the first sequel to Jurassic Park, where a bunch of bad guys kidnapped dinosaurs and then the team had to get them back. Yeah, the same plot happens in Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. So if you saw the Lost World Jurassic Park, you have already seen Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. And the Lost World actually has a lot better acting, and there are a lot more intense set pieces within that film. So that's what I'm putting in there right now. That's my number one, Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, as one of the worst movies of 2018. If you have any disagreements, please let us know. You can always tweet me at cinema_recall. You can send us an email, cinemarecall@gmail.com, and bitch me out for picking these flicks as the worst of 2018. As for Cinema Recall, folks, a little news here. I myself am going to be moving in a few months, and so I'm not going to be able to do as many episodes of this podcast as I would like. I'm still going to try and do some every once in a while, but with work and moving, plus I'm starting up two other music projects, I'm just not able to really concentrate so much on episodes of the show, but I will definitely be active on social media and whatnot, and just do my best in promoting other articles and reviews and podcasts from other great performers and presenters. But that's it right now. I hope you all have a great day and a great year and whatnot, and I will talk with you later. Goodbye.